and welcome to Assembly Audible. I'm your host, Jennifer Pierce, multimedia content specialist with Assembly Magazine. Manufacturers around the world are increasingly concerned about their carbon footprint. One company that's actually doing something about it is General Motors. Last fall, the automaker announced that it plans to source 100% renewable energy to power its U.S. sites by 2025, 5 years earlier than previously announced, and 25 years ahead of its initial target, which was set in 2016. By accelerating its renewable energy goal, GM aims to avoid 1 million metric tons of carbon emissions that would have been produced between 2025 and 2030. I'm joined today by Rob Threlkeld, Senior Global Manager of Energy Strategy at GM. Rob has been with GM for his entire 22-year career in manufacturing. Rob, welcome to Assembly Audible.
Thank you. Look forward to the conversation.
Me too. Just kind of off script before we start, 22 years. Wow, you must like where you work.
I totally do. I mean, it's been a great, you know, atmosphere to work with, and the leadership have been very supportive. Obviously, as you've seen with the acceleration, as you just noted, the renewable energy targets, but, you know, supporting in general our broader impacts that we make as a company and ensuring that we reduce those in ways that, you know, leave the world in a much better place in the future for our future generations.
How does the company plan to reach its renewable energy goal, and how will it be able to do it ahead of schedule?
Yeah, that is a great question. It really kind of comes down to our four-pillar strategy when we announced the actual commitment to get our global operations to 100% renewable electricity. And it's through our four pillars. So the first pillar is energy efficiency, which is obviously optimizing what we use and consume within our manufacturing footprint. And we've invested millions, hundreds of millions into our energy efficiency efforts, you know, over the decades to reduce that ultimate consumption level, which reduces your denominator, you know. Pillar two really focuses on the sourcing of renewable energy and renewable electricity. And we've been doing that for a number of years, going back, you know, actually some decades with some of our original landfill gas efforts, replacing natural gas for landfill gas, which is kind of a biofuel, which is really a precursor to some of the efforts that we've been doing in the electricity space. But then fast forwarding to, you know, working with, you know, individual power producers that are developing our power purchase agreements that we've signed up for, to our utility partners and signing up for green tariffs like we've done, you know, with Detroit Edison in Michigan, or Consumers Energy in Michigan as well, or TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority in Tennessee. Pillar three is looking at, okay, all of this wind and solar we're bringing to the grid really is in our intermittent resources. So how do we address, you know, pillar three, which is focused on energy storage? And that's, you know, obviously being an EV manufacturer, as you go to our all-electric future, we're developing batteries, such as our Ultium battery systems for our EVs. Think of that as EVs can be an asset of the future that can store excess renewable electricity and potentially support discharging electricity in the future. So addressing the intermittencies, pillar three. And then pillar four really gets at GM. We obviously are a large company, and we can leverage our efforts both in policy and scale to really help scale up the industry. We helped found what was at the time the Renewable Energy Buyers Alliance. It is now known as the Clean Energy Buyers Alliance, as we think about broader diversification and portfolio of clean tech to the industry. And we're actually hosting the Clean Energy Buyers Alliance here in May 16th, 17th, and 18th at our Detroit Renson. So it's really those four pillars is how we're going to achieve our commitments and accelerate them.
It seems like an enormous undertaking.
It really is. I mean, you think of it, but in reality, it's no different than how you would really invest your money. It's a portfolio strategy of efforts. I mean, it's focusing on, like I mentioned, those four pillars, you know, and looking at each one of those as we overhaul our facilities for EV manufacturing, hot energy efficiency efforts. How can we procure load that matches, you know, the load of our cities from a renewable energy standpoint? And then as we think about our products and our all-electric future, you know, how do those become enablers to a truly decarbonized grid? And as I followed up with pillar four, it really is in the policy and scale. You know, how do we work with our utility partners to think about it? I mean, we work closely with them on integrated resource planning, which is the utility's view into the future of what they need to do to decarbonize as well. So, I mean, we're really leveraging all of those efforts in ways to factor into how we're moving the industry as a whole, as well as achieving our own targets.
So the second question is, why does or why should GM care about using renewable energy?
Well, we're committed as a company to our all-electric future, which is around zero crash is zero emissions and zero congestion. That zero emissions component is, you know, if we're going to be truly, you know, a zero emission manufacturer of products and EVs and thinking about it, we have to do the same thing on our manufacturing side of the operations and the non-manufacturing side, all the engineering and R&D that goes into our products too. So it's really creating and addressing those types of emissions that are attributed to our manufacturing, non-manufacturing sites and replacing it with renewable energy resources. And in doing so, it really kind of sets us into the trajectory of how we're going to get to zero emission future, because we're working, as I commented earlier, we're working with our utilities. We're coming up with constructs to broadly decarbonize the grid as well. So not only are we thinking about our manufacturing and non-manufacturing operations, but we're thinking about the products that we're building in the future and how do they ultimately, you know, get charged off of clean energy and renewable energy technologies and potentially contribute to the opportunity or to the ability to decarbonize the grid as well.
Okay, so how is the company using renewable energy right now?
We actually use it really in several ways. As I mentioned, we do some on-site generation ourselves with landfill gas at Orion that we just announced is going to have a $4 billion investment to build the Silverado EV. We also utilize landfill gas at Fort Wayne. So we've got some on-site generation resources and a few, you know, on-site solar arrays. However, you could plaster an entire assembly plant with rooftop solar and you'd only get about 20% of the energy consumption. So it really then, you know, to fill in the rest of the gap and the bulk of the void is sourcing offsite. You know, that's through power purchase agreements, as we've mentioned in Texas and Ohio and Illinois, that we've got some of our offsite power purchase agreements that are tied to the grid, to working with our utility partners, as noted with Detroit Edison, Consumers Energy, Tennessee Valley Authority, where we've signed up for green tariffs. And one of the key things that I think is important that I've noted with that is we are trying to find, you know, resources that are within relative proximity of our manufacturing footprint too. So it impacts the local emissions that are within that footprint of our manufacturing site and the local grid. So that's another key contributing factor that we've really been looking at as we've looked at the power purchase agreements that are supporting our manufacturing sites or the green tariffs. It's really working to find solutions that are within the local footprint of our manufacturing and non-manufacturing sites.
Wow. Okay. I'm impressed. So GM's energy goals began with reducing energy consumption. Tell us more about some of the things the company has been doing to become more energy efficient.
Yeah, that's a great question. And that really is pillar number one, because that's the lowest cost electron is one that's not consumed. So that's really where we put a lot of focus as a company. You know, and we've seen it, you know, even in households, you know, as you've gone from incandescent light bulbs to LED light bulbs. You know, we've been converting a lot of our manufacturing sites. In fact, there was even in between, we went to fluorescent light bulbs. So you went from incandescents to fluorescents to now LEDs in a relatively short manner that we've transitioned a lot of those to LEDs in our manufacturing operations. We've put in energy management systems to be able to understand where is our energy being consumed within our manufacturing sites and how do we then optimize the loads within that footprint or design out in new manufacturing and overhauling our manufacturing operations. How do we install more efficient equipment? Understanding what our loads are. So data drives a lot of the decision-making processes. You know, it's putting in variable frequency drives for motors that optimize the electricity consumption of our operations. That, you know, in many ways, you know, your electricity footprint of your assembly plants and many of your manufacturing operations are attributed with air movement. It's all being done by motors. It's water movement. It's all being done by motors as you paint a vehicle. So how do you optimize out the design of the energy from the start, and then how do we then optimize the consumption that we've got at the operations, whether it's variable frequency drives, temperature set points as we think about optimizing for temperature, you know, and ultimately the data that drive our decisions from an energy efficiency perspective.
Okay, so GM is teaming with PJM and Timber Rock to launch a new carbon tracking system to monitor and reduce emissions in real time. Would you mind to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, this was a, you know, kind of a long time project as we thought about some of our early renewable energy projects is, you know, how do we understand how that carbon footprint actually impacts our operations kind of real time? And that's really where our relationship with Timber Rock came from. And then it's working, you know, like PJM, their regional transmission operator, they're a nonprofit. They listen to all stakeholders. And, you know, one of the things that they were starting to hear from an industry perspective is understanding what the carbon footprint is real time. And to us, that allows us, as I mentioned earlier, data drives the decisions. So mm-hmm. It allows us to think about our generation procurement, as in renewable energy, and our manufacturing operations, because as I mentioned, renewable energy is intermittent. So the grid at any given point in time even today has fossil generation. Although I think if you just noted, you know, I think it was last week, California for a short window of time actually ran 100% renewable electricity, which was phenomenal. I mean, you can see the grids are starting to decarbonize, even if it was a short window of time. But real understanding of our data and our emissions, you know, from a carbon perspective allows us as a company to start to think about how do we operate and maximize that value of that renewable energy asset with the operations of our facilities, with what's being generated on the grid at any given point in time, and potentially down the road as we think about energy storage and electric vehicles, how do those all factor into a broader decarbonized grid that realized has to be cost effective, has to be reliable, has to be resilient, secure when you think cybersecurity, and decarbonized. So all of those kind of factor into those decision-making processes as we go down the path to decarbonize.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. So what can other manufacturers learn from GM's example?
I think the number one thing to learn is we're not in it ourselves. Everyone has to think about setting, you know, aggressive, strategic, you know, sustainability goals that ultimately decarbonize your operations, focus a lot on your renewable electricity. You know, as we think about transportation and electrification, you know, as other companies look at their fleets, you know, how do you overhaul, you know, fleets to support electric vehicles, all the way down to educating the consumers. You know, how many of you actually look at your electric bill? You know, as you go to an electric vehicle, you're going to, you know, pretty soon, like you do with your iPhone, you can actually control certain costs or when your kids are actually on their iPhones and their iPads. You have the ability to control your costs as a consumer, too, in charging your electric vehicle as we electrify. So I think, you know, in a lot of ways, it's working together collectively to accelerate that decarbonized future. You know, I would argue that you should think, you know, more broadly than just your own manufacturing and your footprint as yourself, and join organizations such as the Clean Energy Buyers Alliance. It's a great trade organization, you know, that focused on the buyer, you know, and it elevates your voice as an individual company with a community of buyers.
Very interesting. Well, thank you so much. I learned so much from listening to you speak, and it was an honor. So how can people learn more about GM's energy and carbon strategies?
Well, we just recently published our sustainability report, so I would go to GM sustainability report and actually take a look at a lot of the great things we're doing as a company. As I mentioned, 000, you know, it focuses around our transportation electrification sector. There's a lot of details in there about our renewable energy goals, how we, you know, reduce consumption of energy within our manufacturing sites as well. Which are some of the great aspects. And if, you know, you're in the view, you can even talk to dealers and other components. I think as you think about, you know, it is a broad community. You know, it's not just GM, it's our dealer body that are important to as we think about our electrification as well. And so it's really talking collectively. How do you, as a company, demystify what an all-electric future looks like, one that's truly decarbonized, and all the way down to your employees as well. And I think the last thing, as I mentioned, our sustainability report, you can go to, you know, www.gmsustainability.com if you want to actually get into the reports. And did note that earlier, I wanted to make sure I got that into there, as you can actually go to that website and see a lot of good information.
Great. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap up today?
You know, I would say have the passion to do what you really have to do in this space, you know, and really work with the employees. There's a lot of interest, you know, and a number of, you know, companies from the millennials to the ones that are new hires that are, you know, eager to understand how do we really work to decarbonize the grid? How do we do this? And we have to do it at a pace that is traditionally not known. So it's like, how do then companies each set their individual goals, work together as a collaboration of companies, and ultimately set that path moving forward? So the one thing I would leave everyone with is we're all on this journey together. It's something that has to happen at a relatively quick pace as we think about all the investment going into the transportation electrification. How do we work with utilities? How do we work with the regulators? How do we work with legislators to ultimately make this work in a way that actually drives down cost in the end? I mean, you have the ability to control a lot more as we decentralize the grid and decentralize the generation and giving the customers a lot more control. As I mentioned, you know, rates are being set by utilities these days in ways to kind of entice consumer behavior. And you have a much more an ability going forward to control those costs of how much you pay for that electricity than most people probably know.
Well, I have kind of a random question. As Senior Global Manager of Energy Strategy, what do you spend your days doing?
Well, I lead a small team that does work on our energy strategy as a company, but I do a lot of reading as well. You know, you got to stay ahead of what technology are impacting the, you know, the industry, not just from the, you know, automotive side, but, you know, impacting the grid, you know, impacting the things that we do and consume within our homes. And then I work, you know, I was just at Purdue University last week with a senior design class for the environmental ecological engineering students and looking at future, you know, employees that potentially are eager to understand their impacts that they can make to the world. And so, and I work across a number of faucets, but that's kind of my daily function. And then, you know, the other key part is family and kids, and I'm very active officiating in swim meets that my kids are involved with, coaching. I'm a volunteer coach for swimming as well, so I do very, very active with a lot of family activities as well that, you know, is another passion of mine, but is a really, you know, you might say, geez, seems like he works a lot. Well, I do work a lot, but I also have a lot of fun and do a lot of things that involve my kids that really, you know, take my brain and my mind away from work and allow me to have fun and engage with the family as well.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
For more insights on assembling discrete parts and to finish products and the people behind it all, visit our website, assemblymag.com, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast to keep up with our latest episodes. We're also on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, so we invite you to follow us there too. This has been Assembly Audible. Thanks for listening.